हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Sorry. So continuing with Mahabharata and Duryodhana's obstinacy. So Duryodhana has been making his, you know, Krishna spoken, and everybody appreciated because he's not speaking from a political point. He's just showing this is correct and this is not according to Shastra, right? And then Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, they all say, you know, this is exactly right. You know, you should consider this. Even his father says. You know, and then Duryodhana has to go on his tirade. What do you mean I'm doing everything perfect? I'm right. Why is everybody my enemy? Why is everyone? Because it's like what he does, you go, oh, that's fabulous. Then you're his friend. And if you go, well, maybe you should adjust, oh, then you're his enemy. Right? So very shallow. So in other words, one thing to learn from this, don't make that kind of friends. People like that where, you know, then why get involved? Because then they do things wrong, and if you're involved, then you'll go down with them, and so keep your distance. So then Duryodhana has made his point, and so now he's going to continue. Duryodhana paused and glanced around at his audience. He rested one hand on his hip and the other on his sword hilt. He concluded, Keshava, this is my reply. As long as I rule this kingdom on my father's behalf, I will not give the Pandavas even that much land which can be pierced by the point of a needle. Right, so this is the famous point. Because before that he says he'll give nothing back. And so now he's just emphasizing. He's, how much you point it, but take the needle, you know, because it's very sharp, and how much when it touches the earth, that much land, he says he won't even give that much. He's not even saying, I won't even give five of those. Right, because they asked for five villages. No, I won't even give that much. You know, they would have, if I did give, they'd have to share it, but I'm not even giving that. Duryodhana sat down, right? He says, I'm ruling the kingdom on my father's behalf. So Dhritarashtra is the king, but the decision's made by him because he's ruling on his behalf. So that's the difficulty that comes. Now, if he's doing in that way, but his father, you know, is stern because he is the king, then it could be done. But the problem is his father is overly attached. Duryodhana sat down, his eyes fixed on Krishna. Karna lifted his huge arm, smeared with red sandalwood paste, and placed it over Duryodhana's shoulders, right? Because they were both sitting on the same throne. So it would be a big enough throne, you know? But they're sitting there, the friends, so they could sit close. But still it's big. And so he's sitting there. And then having sat down, then he picks up his arm, he puts it around, and yeah, you know, this is the... And red sandalwood. So you have white sandalwood, that will be cooling, but it takes out the heat in the body like that. Well, the red sandalwood doesn't. It increases desire. It may be cool, I mean, it adjust airs and make the body cool, but it doesn't get rid of desire. It may increase desire. Well, the white sandalwood, which is the general one you see, then that's more the mode of goodness. So we see red sandalwoods in passion, while white sandalwoods in goodness. Vidura looked at the two men and shook his head sadly. Dhritarashtra was the only one who could prevent the impending calamity, but the old monarch remained silent, hearing everything, seeing nothing. That's the point. He hears everything, but when it says sees nothing, it's not just meaning he's blind, it means he's blind to what should be done. Like that. So he's the only one who can prevent, because Duryodhana is ruling on his behalf. He's not actually the king. His father's the king. So if his father said no, then that's the way it is. But he doesn't. If the king desired peace, as he said he did, he would have to restrain his son forcibly. Duryodhana was not going to listen to him unless he was prepared to back his words with action. He would have to have the prince arrested, otherwise his words were empty. Right? Because Duryodhana said, I'm doing nothing. So he would just have to arrest him, and, you know, he'd have to stay in his house, and that's the way it is. And he could come out when he decides, okay, I'm going to adjust with this arrangement. Reflecting a moment, Krishna said, you obviously desire the endless sleep of a hero, and it soon shall be yours. Just wait a little longer. Then there will be the massacre you desire. Right? So Krishna's pointing it out that, so you desire to die, you know, along with all these other kings, you know, because he said massacre. So just a little while longer, and then it will be yours. Because they're trying to spin it, you know, politically, and trying to say, oh, no, but it's Yudhishthira. See, if he just accepts that he's going to get nothing and just goes to the forest, then there's no war. But it's actually irreligious, because this isn't the way it's supposed to work. Krishna's expression became stern as he went on. O fool, you think you have no blame, but everyone here knows the truth. You were jealous of the Pandavas' prosperity, and you plotted with Shakuni to defeat Yudhishthira at dice. Who else could have treated his brother's wife as you treated Draupadi? Draupadi is chaste, of noble birth, and is well behaved. She is dear to the Pandavas than their own set lives. Still, you insulted her before all the Kurus. Right, it's not just one thing if he goes in and insults privately in their own quarters, but in front of all the Kurus, in front of all the kings. Krishna reminded Duryodhana how Dushasana had dressed the Pandavas as they left Hastinapur, and how even before the dice game, the Kurus had antagonized them. To plead innocent was simply evidence of his arrogance. Right? So Krishna was just very nicely just presenting that things are wrong, do the right thing. He wasn't getting into more detail than a general thing, just, you know, Draupadi's insulted. That's all. And so then, you know, in his first speech. And so that way then, you know, you're trying to make peace, so you don't want to upset anyone. But it didn't matter what you said, that it upset Duryodhana. And so now he's pointing out detail. And on this detail, literally, except for Duryodhana, Karna, Shakuni, and Dushasana, everyone else knows it's wrong. Everyone, even the kings that support him, they know you don't behave like this. Like that. To plead innocence was simply evidence of his arrogance. If you do not return their kingdom to them willingly, you'll have to return it to them when they defeat you in battle. You have committed so many evil deeds towards the Pandavas, and now you try to appear innocent. You have been repeatedly ordered by your elders to make peace, but you ignore them. Only by peace will everyone be benefited, including yourself. That it appears otherwise to you is a sign of the lack of your intelligence. Right, so this peace, it will be beneficial to you, to everyone who's there, but that he doesn't see it, that means he's less intelligent. Right, because his intelligence, it's not that he's not clever or, you know, he can't do his math or stuff like that. It just means that due to attachment, he becomes blinded in this particular area. Other things in management, you don't hear of the kingdom falling apart. So he knows how to do his administration properly. But the problem is he doesn't have the character and qualities to be running on such a level, because just that it's managed properly is not enough. The king has to act in such a way that the citizen's consciousness is improved. And so that's why the Pandavas should be ruling the kingdom, not him. Managerially, yes, it goes on. The economics will go well. But the point is from Dharma, then it should go forward to bhakti, you know, to liberation, to bhakti. Otherwise, just dharma, artha, kama, and that's it. Then what's the point? You know, human life begins at dharma, and it's supposed to go up, not go down. Krishna's speech had convinced even some of Duryodhana's brothers. Dushasana in particular had begun to favor peace. So here's another one, Dushasana, he's just there. Karna, of course, is not, because he also has that envy. Dushasana doesn't have specific envy. He may, Bhima might annoy him, but he doesn't have specific. But Karna has deep-rooted envy, like Duryodhana. and we know Shakuni, that'll be revealed later, is that he also knows what's wrong. That's why he's trying to get Duryodhana to do as much wrong as possible, because it will destroy him. And one could say, well, what about Shakuni? He'll also be destroyed. But he's not worried about that, because his whole family died. His whole dynasty was killed. And so he was the only one left alive. And so he doesn't mind dying. He just wants to avenge his whole family. But to do that, then you have to get Duryodhana to do so much nonsense that the bad karma just destroys. And now here's even better. You're doing bad work by insulting the devotees of the Lord. And now he's even insulting the Lord himself. Right? Remembering Bhima's vow to tear out his heart, he addressed his elder brother, right? Because when Bhima says it, he means it. He's a Kshatriya, he said it. And Arjuna didn't kill any of them in the battle at Virat, because Bhima had promised that he'll kill them. It was his vow. Otherwise, he could have killed them all right there. You know, means it would have been easy. Twice he could have killed Duryodhana. But he didn't, because Bhima's going to kill them. It was his vow. Right? Krishna's going to kill Karna. But the brothers, you know, like that. He addressed his elder brother, "If you are so foolish that you will not willingly make peace, then the Kauravas will bind you hand and foot and offer you to Yudhishthira." Duryodhana stormed out of the hall. Then his 100 brothers and all of his ministers followed him. After they had gone, Bhishma said, "One who abandons virtue and profit out of wrath will soon be sunk in a sea of troubles." Right? So you have virtue and profit, the things, because of anger. Sometimes you get very angry and, "No, I don't want that," you know, just out of anger. But you don't do that. What is actually your duty, what you're supposed to do, those things that are actually proper, you should continue doing them. And so there's no reason here. This is only out of his anger, out of his envy. You know, "This prince lacks wisdom and knowledge. He is influenced only by anger and greed. O Janardana, I think the Kshatriya race is about to be annihilated, for his brothers and ministers follow him out of folly." Krishna turned his lotus eyes towards Dhritarashtra. "This is the fault of all the Kuru leaders. You should have restrained Duryodhana by force. O sinless men, it is time for you to act. Listen as I describe what is in your best interests. You all know how Kamsa, king of the Bhojas and Ugrasena's wicked son, was rejected by his kinsmen. In the end, I killed him. By this one act, the Yadavas, Andakas, and Vrishnis all became happy. One man should be sacrificed for the sake of a race, the race for the good of a town, the town for the benefit of the country, and the earth for the sake of the soul." In other words, you can give up all material desire to take up spiritual endeavor. Right? So he's showing one man, and then that whole race will be saved. Because if Duryodhana is not checked, all those Kshatriyas that are there will die. But if he is checked somehow, you know, he said, arrest them or do something, then all of them are happy. Just like Kamsa, he's making everybody unhappy. By that one man dying, everybody else is happy. You know, and he's behaving badly. He's only acting for himself. It's not like he's acting for the benefit of the family. "O Bharatas, after binding Duryodhana, Karna, Shakuni, and Dushasana, make peace with the Pandavas. In this way, the Kshatriyas may be saved." This made Dhritarashtra even more uncomfortable. From Duryodhana's birth, his advisors had insisted he reject his son. He had refused. Now he was tasting the bitter fruit of his mistaken judgment. He was too attached to his son, and that attachment had not weakened over the years. Duryodhana took advantage of his weakness and ignored him. It seemed Duryodhana could only be checked if he were executed, or at least imprisoned. Now Krishna was suggesting that they carry this through. How could he contemplate such an option? He thought of Gandhari. Maybe the prince would listen to his mother. He decided to ask her to enter the assembly. "O Vidura, please go and bring the queen here. Then order my son to return to the assembly. Perhaps the wise Gandhari will be able to persuade him." Vidura left the hall, and soon Gandhari entered, maidservants leading the blindfolded queen to her place next to the king. After being seated and informed of the situation, she addressed Dhritarashtra. Your son is full of lust and greed. Only by your blessings has he obtained this kingdom, which he in no way deserves. O king, although you know he is sinful, you support him out of fondness. For this, you are as much to blame for the present situation as he is. It will be difficult now to check Duryodhana. Right? But being a mother, she's always going to love her son. It doesn't mean that she doesn't know his nature. Because it's just mother to son, that relationship remains. But the point is what he's doing, what he deserves and all that, she can easily see. Like that. She's a queen, she's trained. So the queens, they know everything to do with administration. As Gandhari finished, Duryodhana returned, strode angrily across the hall, bowed slightly to his parents and sat down. He was still breathing heavily, his eyes red. Gandhari spoke gently. My dear son, listen as I offer advice meant only for your benefit. It is my most earnest wish that you make peace with the Pandavas. Follow your elders' guidance, my son, and reap the fruits of virtue. You want to control the earth only because you are full of sense desire and anger. You do not know that only by overcoming those two impulses can a man attain success in life. Right? Because anger is destructive and desire is going to be passion, so passion, ignorance. So it's only by overcoming these and acting in goodness you get success. Right? You may have a goal in mind and you're very careful to not repeat mistakes of the past. But using desire and anger and greed, these things won't get any success for anyone. You may see some immediate stuff, but in the long term. So you can say, no, but for 14 years, they were 13 years, they've enjoyed the kingdom. But you have to remember, this is Dwapara Yuga, they live for 1,000 years. So for us, 12 years might seem like a good amount of time. But they live longer. So it would be like for 12 years for us seems like longer. What if we said for 1.2 years? Like that. So that would not be, it'd be 2 months and a few days. 1 year, 2 months and a few days. If they said, yes, for 1 year, 2 months, 2 months, you can enjoy all the kingdom and everything. And then after that, you and everybody you know will be destroyed. You might think, not a good deal. So that's actually what's happening here. So they're all pointing it out. Now his mother is. One who is controlled by his senses cannot control a kingdom. Correct? If you're controlled, you can control. You're not controlled, you can't control. You have respect for authority, you'll be respected. And if not, then you won't. Like that. Yeah. So like this, then Gandhari will then give, because she's a queen, she sees much, she's been trained, she's from a, good background, so she knows this, and now she's just trying to, instruct the son for his benefit in this last ditch attempt. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.